many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Acts 12:1 to 11. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, the verses 1 to 11. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." My theme for reflection is sleeping between chains. Sleeping between chains. A friend of mine once joked that Peter must have been the kind of man who could sleep through a hurricane. And they might be right. In Acts 12, we find him in a Roman prison, chained between two armed guards, the shadow of execution hanging over him, and yet he is fast asleep. No pacing, no praying, sleeping. It is one of the most astonishing scenes in Scripture. What kind of faith rests so deeply in the face of certain death? What kind of trust makes peace possible between chains? The story begins in chaos. King Herod Agrippa I, a descendant of the infamous Herod the Great, has begun a new wave of persecution against the early church. James, the brother of John, has been executed. Peter, the most visible leader of the apostles, is next. 16 soldiers are assigned to guard one man, 2 chained to him, 2 at the door, and 12 on rotation. It's overkill in every sense. Herod's power seems absolute. The church is terrified, and Peter's death is a matter of time. But then Luke writes one of the most hopeful sentences in Scripture. "But the church was earnestly praying to God for him." That "but" changes everything. The power of God enters history not through political counterforce or military strategy, but through prayer. The believers have no weapons, no wealth, no influence. What they have is a God who listens, and while they pray, Peter sleeps. It is not apathy, it is peace. The peace that comes when you know your life is anchored not in circumstance but in promise. Peter remembers the words of Jesus, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands. John 21, verse 18. He is not old yet. His story is not done. Faith in its truest form is not frantic, it is restful. Peter sleeps because he knows God has not finished writing his sentence, even when Herod has signed the verdict. Then comes the divine interruption. A light fills the cell, and an angel strikes Peter on the side, literally kicks him awake. The chains fall off. Quick, get up, the angel says. Then the ordinary instructions. Put on your sandals, wrap your cloak around you, follow me. The extraordinary meets the ordinary. The supernatural and the practical intertwine. God sends an angel, but Peter still has to put on his shoes. This partnership between divine power and human obedience runs through the entire story. God opens the iron gate, but Peter must walk through it. God breaks the chains, but Peter must keep moving. The miraculous happens in motion. That is often how God works. He won't do for us what he has called us to do with him. When Peter finally realizes what's happening, standing in the night air, free, bewildered, and blinking, he declares, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches." Notice what Peter says, "Now I know." Sometimes faith moves from belief to certainty only after deliverance. The miracle is not just in the rescue. It is in the realization that God has been at work all along, even when we thought we were dreaming. I think it was N.T. Wright who once said, when God raised Jesus from the dead, the message was not just look what happened to Jesus, but look what's now possible for the world. That truth breaks through Peter's story in Acts 12. God was not merely rescuing one man from his cell. He was demonstrating what divine intervention looks like when heaven breaks into human impossibility. He was remaking Peter's reality, turning confinement into healing, chains into stories of grace, and despair into renewed mission. And perhaps that is where this story touches us most personally, because Peter's prison is not so far from ours. We may not be bound by iron chains, but many of us know the quiet captivity of death that keeps us awake at night, of guilt that whispers that we will never be free, of sickness that drains the joy out of each day, or of worry that walls us off from hope. Some are trapped by bitterness that has grown roots, others by fear of what tomorrow might bring. So let me ask, in what kind of prison do you find yourself today? What doors seem locked, no matter how hard you have prayed? Where are you longing for the kind of miracle that turns the impossible inside out, the one that only God can do? And when life grows unbearably dark, do you have those who will stand in the gap for you, as the early church did for Peter? Those who will keep the lamp of prayer burning when you have no strength left to pray for yourself. One of the quiet miracles in Acts 12 is not just Peter's deliverance. It is that the church stayed on its knees until he was free. Sometimes the angel doesn't arrive until someone somewhere refuses to stop praying. Perhaps you are that someone for another right now. Or perhaps you are the one who needs a praying community around you. Either way, the story invites you to believe again that God still sends his angels, not always in blinding light, but often in the quiet faithfulness of people who love you enough to pray you out of your chains. This story reminds us that even when the church is powerless, prayer is not. Even when God seems silent, He is never absent. Even when evil appears to have the upper hand, heaven's timetable runs deeper. God's sovereignty is not a theory. It is a living power that moves gates, awakens faith, and confounds tyrants. But it also challenges us. Are we praying like that early church, earnestly, persistently, expectantly? Or have we grown polite in our petitions and resigned in our hope? Peter's story invites us to believe again that God still sends angels, sometimes visible, often hidden, to disrupt despair and deliver his people. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what chains in your life or community seem unbreakable, and how might God be inviting you to pray and trust while he works behind the scenes? Number two, are there ordinary steps God is asking you to take today, even as you wait for him to do something extraordinary? And now our practical exercise for the day. Spend 15 minutes today in earnest, specific prayer for someone who feels trapped in fear, addiction, illness, or doubt. Write their name down and pray daily for a week. Like the early church, trust that your prayers are not wasted words, but active participation in God's deliverance. Lord of freedom and peace, you who opened Peter's prison and silenced Herod's pride, open our hearts again to your power. Teach us to rest like Peter, to pray like the early church, and to move when you say, get up. Break every chain that binds us in fear, in doubt, in sin, and make us partners in your extraordinary work. May our prayers shake the gates of despair and release your light into the darkest cells of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.